We're in week four right now of a series called What Would You Say? What Would You Say? We've looked into this idea that sometimes we may have a temptation as humans to read the Bible like we're just kind of watching it happen. But what would it look like if we read the Bible and put ourselves right there in it like it applied to our life today? Because here's the thing at Vertical, we believe it absolutely applies to your life today. So whether you're here in Morganton or you're in Hiawassee online, are in the movie theater, are online, I just want to welcome you. My name is Philip. I'm so glad you're here. I want to let you know, just bring you in a little bit of situation that happened. At about 9-something this morning, Hiawassee lost power. And in case you're wondering, we stream our whole service into the movie theater in Hiawassee. So power, slightly critical to the operation. So there was a moment of panic amongst our teams of, Lord Jesus, please bring back the power. And as far as I know, Hiawassee, you are watching right now. And if not, well, I look weird now. Okay, so John chapter 10 is where we're going today. John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. It says, very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. If you brought your Bible or you've got the Bible app or you're taking notes, I encourage you, hopefully you're doing one of those three things. I want you to underline a couple things in verse 3. I want you to underline, listen to his voice. I want you to underline, by his name, or by name, and then underline, leads. Those are three things I really want us to focus in on today, because Jesus is quickly laying out some important things. Jesus is laying out some important things for us on what does it look like to be somebody who follows him. And the first thing he tells us right in this story is, he goes, my sheep, they listen to my voice. They listen to my voice. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. It took all of 3 verses in my preparation here before I started getting convicted. That's not a good sign for Philip. We're 3 verses in and I'm already feeling a little bit convicted. I started going, man, if that's the standard, if Jesus says, hey, my sheep, they listen for my voice. I go, how well am I doing at that lately? How well am I doing at that lately when it comes to listening to his voice? I'm doing real well lately if I check off the things I've got to get done. I'm doing real well lately if I'm getting all the things I need to do. If I'm staying in order, I'm getting through my routines, I'm checking off a box. I'm doing real well. But if it comes to just listening to his voice, how am I doing? How are you doing when it comes to listening to his voice? But he doesn't stop there. He says he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. That also stuck out to me. He says by name. I think as we live life and things happen to us and things can be difficult, it's easy to start to wonder, does God even really realize what's happening in my life? Like, does God really know me? Does he understand? Does he see what's happening? But Jesus himself says, oh, no. I know my sheep, and I know them by name. Jesus takes verse 3 and makes it very personal. He says, no, I know my sheep, and I know them by name. You're not just a number. You're just not another sheep being thrown in there. You're not just there to boost the numbers of the farm. He goes, I know my sheep by name, and it's personal. But then he says a third thing. He says, and I lead them. So it's not just that his sheep listen. It's not just that he knows each sheep from the other sheep. He goes, and I lead them. I lead them. And that was difficult because I'm already still in verse 3 trying to go, am I good right now at listening to his voice? And then he goes, and I lead them. And unfortunately, that part of the verse summed up how I was doing when it came to listening. Because if listening leads to following Jesus at his pace where he's going, well, that's a problem, because when I wake up in the morning, I know the things I've got to get done. Maybe you're like me. You start off your day, you're like, I got to get this done. I got to be here at this time. I got to check this off. I got to get these errands run. I got to get this taken care of. And then if I get in bed with enough time, I can watch a little bit of Netflix. And then I'll start it all over again the next day. We just kind of run, rinse, repeat. We kind of know all the things we've got to get done each and every day. But Jesus says, that's not actually my standards for a good day. My standards for a good day is you woke up and say, today I need to listen. Today I need to listen to Jesus. I'm going to listen for him to call me by name, and I'm going to follow him where he leads. That is a very different agenda than how many of us are tempted to live our life. Jesus throws up three things on the daily agenda for us. He says, listen to my voice. I'm going to be the one who calls you by name, and you're going to follow me today. And he says, that's it. That's it. When it comes to having a good day, that was it. How many of us put pressure on ourselves? When we go to bed at night, where we go, that was my defining factor of whether or not I had a good day. I think the pressure in our culture is that we define a good day by a lot of other things. Whether we got this much accomplished, whether we closed this business deal, whether we got the kids to all the practices, whether we got actually three meals in today, you know what I'm saying? That was a good day. Actually got our homework done. If some of you guys are still in college, you know what I'm saying? Didn't get it done at 4 a.m., you got it done at 3 a.m. Today was a good day. You know what I'm saying? And so, but Jesus says, no, it's three things. You listened, you heard me call you by name because it's personal, and I led you. That was a good day. Look at verse 4. Verse 4, he says, when he had brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. I want you to underline some stuff in verse 4 as well. He says, he goes on ahead of them. And I also want you to underline, his sheep follow him. Because the next time you open up your Bible app, and you start going through this, or you come across your notes, I mean, you know, our, you know, 50 years from now, as the, you know, they're going through your stuff, they find these notes, I don't know. But look, there's a beginning to be a clear trend that Jesus is laying out. He's hammering things home. The imagery is he goes out in front of us. He goes out in front of us. One, that should comfort us. Because if we're actually listening and we're following, we're not going to end up anywhere Jesus isn't at with us. You're not going to end up in a spot in life where you go, man, I really wish Jesus was here with me right now. Because if we've listened and we followed, we can have full faith that right there in that moment, Jesus is with us. Because we followed him. We've listened. We know as a sheep, I've not ended up anywhere I'm not supposed to be because I listened to the shepherd. We just can kind of look at Jesus. Jesus, I need you to kind of take care of this because you led us here. I need you to lead us out of here. But sometimes what happens is sheep get on the loose. You ever seen this before? Sheep get on the loose. And I'm not calling you a sheep. The Bible is. And so we can get lost sometimes doing our own thing. We're real good at this. You got, if you're like me, I got things to do. I got places to be. Jesus opens up the gate at the morning. He's like, Philip, good to see you, my sheep. And he's like, Jesus, good to see you. And I'd poof, take off because I'm a fast sheep. I'm going to talk about that here in a minute. I got speed. Some of y'all believe me. Guys, I'm not fast. I'm the slowest person on our co-ed softball team, okay? But I will hustle. And so, I shouldn't even tell you this. I've been thrown out at home more than my team would care to admit in co-ed softball. Because in my mind, I'm going to get there. And I do, just not before the ball gets to the catcher. And so, I've lost us championship games and everything because I think I'm far faster on the base paths than I am. But as a sheep in this story, I'm very fast. Just give me that, okay? But Jesus is laying out in these first 5-6 verses, we have a very clear job. We have a very clear job, Jesus is saying, and it's to listen. And some of y'all, no, don't, if you're married or dating, do not make eye contact with your significant other when we start talking about listening. We're only like 1/3 in the message. Don't do it. Don't do it. You're not going to get lunch today. It's going to be unpleasant. You're going to get in the car and you go, did you listen to the pastor today? He said you need to listen. And then you guys, I know, y'all going to be the snarky spouse. And you're going to be like, he said, listen to Jesus, you know? And then it's not going to go well for you. And I'm going to get blamed. I don't want that on me. Please don't put that on me. But Jesus is saying we need to be people who listen. He goes, that's one of the most defining factors of a successful day in the kingdom of heaven here on earth is, did you listen to the shepherd? Or did you just go do whatever you wanted to do as a sheep? Did you just go off and wander and find your own lands and live your own life? And then when a wolf shows up or a thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, you're like, well, this is a problem. I wish I had a shepherd around, you know? But that's what can happen to us. But one of our main jobs is to listen, but then also to follow. You can't follow without listening, and so we've got to listen first and then follow. See, here's one of the things is, speaking of speed, I ran one half marathon in my life years ago, and so you can tell I did not enjoy it. We've not done it again. I've talked about this here before. I don't enjoy running unless it's for a sport, and then even when I am running in a sport, my team doesn't necessarily always enjoy it, as we've discovered. But I ran a half marathon. My favorite part of the half marathon was they took us out to dinner the night before and gave us endless pasta. So that Friday night, I said, I love half marathons. This is delightful. I get all-you-can-eat pasta. I like the half marathon life. I can do this. And then when I had to get up at 4 in the morning, I liked the half marathon life less. I did not enjoy it as much. And then, but what happens is the race is there's hundreds of people. We're in Nashville, Tennessee. It's hot. And we start running. And there's so many people there that they have pace setters. And there's these people who are paid to run in these things. I thought they just had the scam figured out and all of us pay them to come punish ourselves. But no, there's people who are paid to run in these races. And they carry this sign as they're running because apparently running isn't hard enough for them, unlike me. They carry a sign just to insult me that they can run the race and do it faster while carrying something. That's beside the point. But they start carrying signs and they're all marked. They're like, if you want to run a 6-minute mile, you run with this dude. If you want to run a 7-minute mile, this whole thing, you run with this girl. If you want to run a 7.5-minute mile, you run with this guy. And of course, you know, in my humble self, those people are not for me. Those people are not for me. And so they take off running with their signs, and I see the person with the 8-minute mile, and I'm like, maybe. And then after about 10 steps, no, definitely not. So I let them keep going, and then 8.5-minute mile, he keeps going, I'm fine. 9-minute mile, maybe. After a couple, no. So 9.5-minute miles passing, and now you're starting to see most people are passing me. They seem to have shown up with different agendas than I have in this race. And then this is the heartbreaking moment, the person with the 10-minute sign. This is it. This is him. This is the last person they're going to count for you because it's just insulting after this point. And so he starts running with his 10-minute sign, and I'm like, this is him. I've come in. I can run a 10-minute mile. And then as you slowly start to fall behind, you go, this is not good. This is going to be a bad day if we're falling behind the 10-minute guy at this point in the race. It's early on, people. I won't tell you how early because I want to walk away with some semblance of pride. And so he starts getting ahead, and that's it. There's no more people to mark here because they said, surely if you've showed up to run the half marathon, you can keep up with the 10-minute mile guy. And I said, surely I cannot. I'd like the oranges and the water people to come meet me where I'm at. This is going very poorly. And so, by the way, as you can discover through context clues, I did finish the race and I'm still here. And I've never returned to give them my money, though. And so, but the point is, there's pace setters. There's people who know how quickly you need to run the race. Jesus is laying out in these verses, when it comes to spiritual things, he says there is one pace setter. There is one person running the race that we're supposed to match. Jesus says, I am the pace setter spiritually. He says, my sheep, they listen and they follow. So Jesus is coming and he doesn't only just set the direction because he's out in front of us leading, but he sets the pace. And see, some of us have a temptation that when Jesus starts leading, we go, okay, I think I see where he's going, and boom, we take off as sheep. Or we see something kind of fancy or good-looking or attractive or whatever it is, and we go, well, we've been following Jesus, but Jesus, we should be heading this way, and we end up in a ditch. Or we go, Jesus, you're kind of moving a little bit too quickly. I'd like to enjoy this a little bit more, and we kind of slow down. But Jesus says, no, I go out ahead of my sheep, and I lead them, and therefore he sets the pace. How are we doing when it comes to listening to Jesus, but also following his direction at his pace? Jesus, as the good shepherd, is laying all of this out, that this is actually what our lives should look like. And maybe you're a little bit like me, and you put a lot of pressure on yourself. You come in and you go, man, I'd actually like to live my life like that, because that sounds peaceful. That sounds a little bit easier. That sounds like a life where I could breathe. But we've got so many things we put on ourselves of what our life is supposed to look like, what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to accomplish, what everyone needs to view us as and look like. Jesus says, no, throw it all out. Every day when you get up, you need to listen to my voice, follow my direction, and walk at my pace. He goes, that is what a successful life looks like in the kingdom. But I wonder if some of us are dealing with some of the pressures of life because we're out trying to be a sheep who can do it on their own rather than doing what we were created to do, and that's follow a good shepherd. So when it comes to listening, when it comes to following direction, when it comes to walking and moving at Jesus' pace, how are we doing? How are we doing? Or does the American church look like a sheep that are all moving in different directions, at different paces, in different directions, because we have one pace setter that most of us aren't listening to? And so Jesus sets the direction, he sets the pace, and here's the thing, I'll boil it down, sheep have two jobs in this. Sheep have two jobs, to be led and to follow. To be led and to be followed. Some of us have so much pressure we put on ourselves, and I'm here to tell you today, according to what Jesus said, we don't have to overcomplicate it. We can go to bed at night full of peace as long as we have been led and followed by Jesus. Jesus leads us, he sets the pace, and we're here to listen. I think sometimes we overcomplicate it because of the American dream, the American choice, and all these things that are available to us in this wonderful country. We have a lot of options available. But what Jesus says here is to have a great, successful day in the kingdom of God, you need to be able to listen and follow at my pace. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, "Therefore Jesus said again, 'Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full.'" Jesus lays out, I'm the way, the truth, the life. There's no going to heaven to the Father without me. And it's interesting that he would say this because it's almost like he's sticking up for us a little bit. He's like, I am the gate. I was talking to Desi this week about these verses. And if you don't know Desi, he's the co-host on our podcast. Shameless plug for the podcast. If you don't listen to it, you can go find it in your podcast store on YouTube. You can go check out the podcast. Desi and I and Caroline and Austin, we do a lot of hard work on the podcast to try to make it of value to you. Go check it out. But we were talking, Desi had read this book about an African shepherd who had wrote about this imagery and this explanation by Jesus, and he was talking about how the shepherds, they would build a pen, but they would leave the gate open, and that's actually where the shepherd would lie down. Like, they would be the physical gate. And so when Jesus says, I am the gate, what he's really saying is not only do you not get in and get past me, but if you want to mess with my sheep, you got to go through me. Jesus is, again, sticking up and making this very personal. Like, I know my sheep by name, and if you want to mess with my sheep, you come through me. But here's the thing. When Jesus says that, he's talking about sheep that have listened and at the end of the day have ended up back in the pen. You know what I'm saying? When he's not talking about the sheep who we had other things to do and we're off in a ditch somewhere. We're off lost and wandering. Jesus will come and look and find us. We know that through other scriptures. But if we want the protection of Jesus, we actually need to be ones who've listened and followed. If we want to end up in that pen, we want that moment where Jesus says, you got to come through me to get to my sheep. We've got to have listened and followed. And see, that's the example that Jesus sets to us with the Father, though. Jesus' whole life, he spent constantly, if you go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he keeps talking about, I'm going to do what my Father asks me to do because he's listening and following the will of the Father. But he also says something interesting, though, is he talks about finding pasture. Talks about finding pasture. And I don't know about you, but when I hear that kind of imagery, I like that imagery. I think about a nice open field. I think about the sun coming down. My wife, love you, babes. She likes it when it rains. I don't because the sun's gone away. Okay, I like the sun. I like vitamin D. Okay, I don't like winter times because when I come out of our office, which has no windows, at 5 o'clock, the day's over. It's pitch black. And I'm like, what has happened to the whole day? It's gone. I got to poke my head out like once outside the door, and it's like, ah, it's still light outside. Fantastic, you know? And so when I think about the pasture, it's sunny out. I'm running around with my other friend's sheep. We're having a good time, but I'm secure. I feel secure out in this pasture because I know where I'm supposed to be, and my shepherd is there with me. I want to ask, do you feel secure right now? Do you feel secure right now? Because Jesus, as he's laying out these verses, he said, if you follow me as the good shepherd, you are secure. But see, I think sometimes when we talk about that, again, we're tempted so much to think of it in our earthly circumstances. We think about it being earthly secure. And Jesus, as a good shepherd, is not trying to lead us into security on earth. As a good shepherd, he's actually one who is leading us to the eternal pasture in the kingdom of heaven. And I think that's where we get confused a lot of times, is as a good shepherd, where he's trying to lead us, we actually don't know. We haven't seen before. We actually think, why aren't you leading me into these things here on this side of the eternity? Why aren't you leading me into these blessings here on this earth? And Jesus, as a good shepherd, goes, that all fades away. That all fades away. Where I'm leading you, moths and vermin and thieves can't destroy. I'm a good shepherd, and I'm going to take you to the best place, the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to lead you there. And I think we want an earthly pasture sometimes with what we think an awesome earthly pasture would look like, but that's not where Jesus is here to lead us. Jesus says, I'm going to lead you into the kingdom of heaven, where nothing can steal, kill, or destroy. Because he said, we've come to have life to the full. Life to the full. And again, I think we apply that in our earthly thinking of life to the full is X amount of money. Life to the full is a certain car or house, or if we live in North Georgia, I mean, let's be honest, a mountain view. We'd like a mountain view. We think about all these things that would be life to the full here. And Jesus says, I've actually not come to offer any of that. I've come to offer life to the full. And see, what he's talking about is he knows that we're actually eternal beings, like our souls are eternal. He's not talking about just our flesh, which fades away. He's saying, I will lead you to life to the full, which is beyond just this side of eternity. I'm going to lead you into the kingdom of heaven, which will blow your mind. I was reading about somebody who was talking about, he's like, do we ever think about how the Bible talks about like the streets of gold in heaven? He's like, in heaven, they literally just make the roads out of what we value most. I was like, huh. It just shows how upside down the kingdom of heaven is compared to this world and vice versa. Like what's highly exalted here on earth by us as humans a lot of times is literally the lowest of lows in the kingdom of heaven. I still stand by that. I think some of the people who have the greatest treasures and things in heaven will be people we've never heard about here on earth. They're not going to be people with massive book deals or podcasts or YouTube channels. They're going to be people that literally none of us knew about. But Jesus did, because they were really good at listening and following. I think about when this earth fades away, this time on earth fades away, and we go before Jesus, what are we going to be able to say that's of any worthwhile value? Like when we get before Jesus, what are we going to say that made it explain our life of we listened and we followed? Will we have lived a life of listening and following Jesus that will hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Or will we try to bring him a lot of things that have no value in the kingdom of heaven? What will we bring Jesus that has any value? And I'll tell you what it is. It's faith, love, and obedience to him. So I think sometimes we have to look at John 10 and see how convicting, how challenging it is as Jesus lays this all out of people who need to listen, but also follow. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. You see, as life begins to happen and becomes more and more difficult, we wonder, Jesus, are you really still in this? Are you still really around? Do you still really know what's happening? Are you still really that good shepherd? Do you care? In John 10, 11, it's such a powerful verse. Like, I think it's one we should memorize. He goes, I am the good shepherd. I lay my life down for my sheep. Like at the beginning of all this, Jesus says, I know my sheep by name. He makes it really personal. And then he looks at his sheep and says, I lay my life down for you. I lay my life down for you. And when he says this, when John 10 is actually taking place and he's teaching, the people don't understand what he's talking about. But as we sit and in a movie theater in Hiawassee or online or here in Morton, like, we actually know what he's talking about. In John 10, when this is happening, he's talking, I'm going to get up on a cross and die for you. Like, I will, as the good shepherd, lay my life down that you may be able to cross into the kingdom of heaven's pastures. I will be the gate that opens. I will make a way. And I will lay my life down for my sheep so they can go where they couldn't without me. He actually means what he says here. And John 10:11 to me, I think just reveals such an intense love that Jesus has for us. This is not a man who came down from heaven and said, hey, like, if you want to end up here, do these things. I don't really care if you end up there at all, but I'm here. Jesus is this guy that came down as the Son of God, looks at the sheep and says, I will lay my life down for you, the sheep that I know by name. See, it was very personal to Jesus. You weren't just a number. You weren't just a statistic. You were a sheep that's known by name, and he lays his life down for you. And so what do you say back to Jesus in this moment? Knowing what you know now that John 10:11 he meant, what do you say back to Jesus now when he says, I am the good shepherd, I lay my life down for my sheep? What do you say back? Is it a thank you? Is it a, I'll buy you a gift card? Like, I thank you. What is it? Or I appreciate it. Like, what is it that you say back to Jesus after John 10 and 11? What do you say back in this moment to a man who said, I'll lay my life down for my sheep, and he meant it? You see, I think at this point, it's not just what we say back to Jesus. It's, will our actions back up what we say? I think we've got to the point in the series where it's no longer just about what would we say back to Jesus. It's, will we back it up with our actions? John 10:11 isn't Jesus just saying he'll lay down his life and then doesn't. It's John 10:11 saying, this is what I say. And by the end of the book of John, we realize this is what he does. That was the tone that Jesus set for us, is not only do I say things, but I follow through. So when it comes to us, like, what do we say back to a man that did lay down his life for us? And then not only what do we say back, what does our actions say? And I think that's why John 10:10 starts off explaining what it is. If we're people who want to say that, Jesus, we appreciate what you did, we're thankful for what you did, Jesus already answers what our lives should look like. At the beginning of John chapter 10, he says, if you're thankful, if you're grateful, if you appreciate what I've done, you'll be people who listen and follow. You'll listen and follow. And you'll do that every day. And see, there's three things that we learn as we walk away, and maybe you're realizing, and maybe you're a little bit convicted like I am after reading John 10, that man, I don't know that my life lines up exactly the way John 10 is calling me to. There's some things that need to change. Like when I walk out of Hiawassee's movie theater or a gym in Morganton, or I turn off my laptop or TV, like there's some things that need to change. The direction I'm going needs to change, and it needs to line up with the Good Shepherd. Like, I need to be someone who actually wakes up in the morning and say, Jesus, I want to listen and follow. There's three things that we talked about here, and one is just listening to the Good Shepherd. How are we doing with that? Learning what those 11 verses right there just called us to, like, how are we doing when it comes to listening to Jesus? When we get up in the morning, are we trying to listen? When we have lunch that day and we're talking with friends, and when we get to the end of our day, like, how are we doing when it comes to listening to Jesus? And if we're honest, this can be hard sometimes. I'm gonna give you some insider secrets, right? Because I'm a pastor, like I've got to have insider secrets, right? And so, in case you're wondering, I was being a little sarcastic. Some of you are like looking at people like, write this down. He's got insider secrets. Write those bad boys down. And so the first thing I'll tell you is in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and those four gospels, they talk about Jesus' life. But the translations, a lot of times in the Bibles, will write what Jesus said down in red. It's a powerful thing to learn. You can go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and actually see things Jesus said. They'll be written in red. You may have noticed that as you were reading along today. These are written in red. Those are things Jesus said. If you want to start in learning how to listen to Jesus, the greatest way to start is actually the four gospels and the things that he said right there. Because here's the thing. When you go out to live your life, follow Jesus, you're not going to end up being led to do things that don't line up with what was already said in Scripture. Jesus doesn't change his mind over time. And so the first thing, if we've got to learn his voice, if we've got to learn what he's saying, we've got to be people who know those four chapters. Like if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to be people who go, we know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's why I'm actually praying through, thinking about changing our Bible reading plan for next year. As a church, we do a Bible reading plan every year. I'm actually thinking about changing it, that we read those four gospels as much as humanly possible in 12 months. If we start the year in January and end the year in December, I want us to be a church who knows what Jesus said. Because if we know what he says, then it's easier to listen. It's easier to hear as he's leading. Maybe that's how we spend a whole year. We go, Jesus, I want to know your voice clearly. And so I'm going to start there in Scripture. The second thing is following the direction. Following the direction. Jesus said, like, I go out ahead of my sheep. He says, I lead them. When it comes to our life, see, this is, as humanity, where we buck a lot of times. We be people, we maybe go, okay, I'll listen. But then when it talks about being led, that's difficult. That means we don't always get to do what we want to do. That means I may see something over here that I really want to go do or follow or do that, but if I'm going to follow Jesus and I see he's leading in a different direction, that's got to fade away. And I've got to go where Jesus wants me to go, even if it doesn't make sense. Even if I go, Jesus, I don't think that's where we need to go, but we know he's leading, we follow. When we go to listen, are we willing to do what he says? When we go to listen, are we willing to do what he says? As we wake up each and every day, I think we've got to be people, I want to hear from you, Jesus, but then we actually have to have the heart to follow when he says something. How are we doing with that? As people in North Georgia and beyond, wherever you're tuning in online, like, how are we doing with that nowadays? I think a lot of us get in trouble because maybe we're willing to listen to Jesus, but we're not always willing to follow if we don't like the direction he's going, especially if it's going to cost us something. How are we doing when it comes to following the Good Shepherd? And see, here's the thing. There's a third thing, but if we're not doing the first two, if we're not willing to listen, and if we're not willing to follow, we cannot do the third thing, which is follow at his pace. And this may be the most difficult one, because you can't follow at a pace if you can't hear the voice. You can't follow at a pace if you've not let Jesus lead the way. But this is the one where even if you go, Jesus, I hear you. Jesus, I'm willing to follow the direction. What if he starts moving at a pace that's, oh, this is moving quicker than me. Oh, I don't know if I like the direction. Things are changing real quickly. I don't know if I like this, or vice versa. We are moving too slow, Jesus. I got things to do, places to see. I need you to pick it up. Jesus, I need you to have some Latin blood. I need a little vamanos in my life. You know what I'm saying? We look at Jesus, you got to move. But Jesus is the one pace setter in the race. So when it comes to our lives, how are we doing? When Jesus says, John 10:11, I lay my life down for my sheep. It's no longer time for humanity just of what would we say back to Jesus. It's time for humanity to decide, how will I respond with my entire life? How will I respond my entire life? Because my actions need to back up what I would say to Jesus in this moment. If the worship team wants to come back up, we're going to close out our service. but I just want us to have an honest conversation. Because maybe you're like me, John 10 is more convicting than you thought it was coming in today. You realize John 10 is calling me to do some things and change some ways that I'm living my life. Because if it all boils down to, do I listen and follow at the pace of Jesus? And that's really what counts. How am I doing with that? How am I doing that? Maybe all the things I was kind of stacking my life up to be, making sure I got this job or got married to this person or had this amount of money or had my status of like whatever it is in life. But if John 10 really just calls me to, how am I doing when it comes to listening and following at the pace of Jesus? Does anything need to change? Does anything need to change on how I live my life? Because Jesus came and set the tone. He goes, I have an intense love for you. I have an intense love for you. I know you by name, and I will lay my life down for my sheep. What's your response to that? What's your response to that with our actions in life? See, here's the thing. Half a sheep can't follow Jesus. Half a sheep can't follow Jesus. You can't split in half and go, I'm going to follow Jesus kind of this way, but then I can also do kind of my thing. It's either we follow him with everything we have or we don't. It's either we give our entire life to follow Jesus or we don't. It's everything that we are or it's nothing. And see, Jesus has this intense and deep love for us. He would not have died for us if that love wasn't there. And I think when we hear a message like this, our one of the responses can be maybe guilt or shame. And you go, man, I don't think I can follow Jesus now. I've messed up too much. I haven't been doing this. Like, how can I start to follow Jesus now if I've messed up this much? Maybe he doesn't want me as the sheep anymore. The thing is, John 10, 11 already happened before you were born. John 10, 11 already happened before you were born. Before you made all these mistakes, all these things that you think drive you away from Jesus, he already talked about being the good shepherd. He already invited you, said, come follow me. Just listen to my voice. Listen to my voice. Come follow at my pace. Jesus is not here wanting you to run away as a sheep. Jesus is here going, please today, come follow me. Come follow me. It doesn't matter if you spent the last 55 years of your life living for yourself. Jesus is asking today, will you come follow me? And so if guilt or shame is trying to enter your life right now, I'm telling you, put it to the side. That is not from the good shepherd. That is from a thief that wants you to scatter away from Jesus. Jesus is here saying, come follow me with everything you are, and I will lead you into the good pasture. So Jesus, we've looked into your word. We believe what it says. We pray that you will use it to change our hearts and minds, refine us, Jesus, but also reveal your love to us in such a deep way right now that you are the good shepherd, the one who gave everything that we may be able to follow you. And so right now, I pray for anyone who maybe has walls up or chains that are holding them back or maybe just thinks, Jesus, you don't really want me. I pray that you'll call them by name, Jesus, that you will lead them to follow you with everything that we are. I pray that we will be people who are not held back by the ways of this world. Holy Spirit, move right now. Let us exchange our ways for your ways, Jesus. Reveal to us your love and care for us, and let us be people who follow you as the good shepherd with all that we are. Jesus, we give you this time. Speak to us and lead us. In your name we pray. Amen.